Audio extracts from the book, Life After Life, a selection of individual experiences in the beyond. This ebook only cost $1 from Amazon. Introduction. What is the purpose of life on earth? Is there an afterlife? How are we to imagine life in the spiritual world? What is in store for us over there? These questions about our existence reach into the spiritual reality of the beyond, a reality which is inaccessible by our physical senses and by present-day methods of natural scientific research. Therefore, it is not easy for us to acquire informed and detailed knowledge by ourselves. However, there are ways to gain insight into the spiritual world. Well-known examples are near-death experiences, NDE, taking place on the threshold of the beyond, are impressive dreams perhaps involving a dearly loved deceased person. Yet another means of gaining insight into the where from and where to of mankind is the contact with the beyond through a human intermediary, a medium. This significant method of receiving spiritual knowledge has been known for ages. We need only to remember the prophets of ancient Israel or the early Christians who prayed emphatically for support and instruction from the spiritual world of God. People today are no longer familiar with the idea of a connection between this world and the beyond. A relationship between the spirits of God and mankind, to many people, would appear inconceivable or impossible or even forbidden. This is due to a lack of deep reflection and knowledge of the subject. The fact that even today people can be guided and taught by spirits of God is substantiated by the 2,500 lectures that have been transmitted by the deep trance medium Beatrice Brunner, 1910-1983, over a period of 3 years, between 1948 and 1983. Part of these comprehensive teachings from the divine world consists of 91 reports of individual experiences of deceased people, recounting their life on earth and their initial experiences in the world beyond. This book reflects a small selection of these individual reports of deceased persons who lived on earth, some 50 to 200 years ago. Based on the explanations given in these accounts, the reader is enabled to imagine the possibilities which are opened by a relationship between this world and the beyond, and he or she can gain insight into the world that is awaiting each and every one of us. The accounts are personal, and each report demonstrates the varying spiritual effects an individual's attitude and actions have on the manner in which they are judged and treated after death. The reports in this book are based on the original German language tape recordings. When converting from the spoken to the written form, editorial adjustments have been made where appropriate. The individual way of expression of each manifesting spirit has been maintained in its original form. Elizabeth, how she became a spiritualist and how this helped her in the hereafter. Personal report, 5 November 1969. God bless. My name is Elizabeth and I would like to tell you how I found spiritual belief and how it helped me in the divine world. I lived in Austria where I had a school friend. However, our paths separated when my friend left to marry a man who worked in the colonies. My mother was very pious and educated me and my three brothers in the Catholic faith. My father also, indeed, the whole family, was pious, but my mother particularly too. She constantly inquired if I had been to confession and insisted that I observe the religious traditions. In my heart I was devout and felt a special relationship with Christ and the saints to whom we also prayed. However, even at an early age I found the behavior of my mother intrusive and off-putting. I remained single and stayed with my parents until they died. All my brothers had families. I maintained a lively correspondence with my friend in Africa. She recounted how she went regularly to strange gatherings, always on the same day of the week, at a neighbor's house. The woman who lived there was a medium and it was always the same friends who formed a circle around this woman holding each other's hands while she went into trance and spoke to them. This was something entirely new and astonishing to me. My friend continued to write details of these meetings in every letter, and finally I was convinced and believed her. My friend wrote that this woman gave each one in the group advice or two preview of a specific event in his life. Skeptical at first, my friend found that everything always happened exactly as foretold. But what finally completely won her over was when the communicating spirit told her that her mother-in-law was seriously ill and would pass to spirit within 2 to 3 days. Of course, she was surprised and sad to hear this, but it was to be a proof to her when everything came to pass exactly as foretold. In those days, about 80 years ago, communications took a lot longer than today, but the news confirming her mother-in-law's death finally arrived. This personal proof strengthened her faith in the possibility of communication with the spiritual world. All this she wrote to me. Of course I was amazed at this and wanted to know more and more. She sent me long letters, and I could not read enough about all that went on there. She confirmed to me and described in detail that life continues after earthly death, and that a spirit was truly able to communicate with the living on earth through a human being. She wrote that this was not an everyday occurrence and drew my attention to certain dangers connected with it. One has to be very careful. In their circle they accepted only people of strong character and firm belief in God and who led just lives. To be sure, all this made me think, so life continues after death. My friend's letters were full of explanations which did not agree with what I had been taught to believe, and I also told my mother about it, for I totally rejected her oppressive ways in matters of religion. My mother forbade me to remain in contact with my friend as she believed all this to be from the devil. But I did not agree, I knew my friend too well. Her honesty and goodness of soul. And nothing of what she wrote me could possibly come from the devil, of this I was quite sure. Of course, I realized that my mother could never accept any of it, as it was contradictory to her faith and her outlook on life. Therefore my relationship with my mother was strained, for I now held steadfast to my belief. I tried to live accordingly, following my friend's teachings. In her circle of friends they received plenty of advice as to what was required to earn merit in heaven. And thus I really learned about the truly spiritual and pious way of life which, of course, was quite contradictory to my mother's. Then came the sad time when my friend's husband fell seriously ill and passed on. She returned from Africa alone, she was childless, and her husband had been buried out there. On the one hand she was sad and on the other hand, as she told me during our first meeting, you know, given all the knowledge I have there's really no reason for me to be sad. It is true though that I miss my husband, and it is really difficult for me to be on my own now. However, I know that he is well, he was a good person. I have influenced him and believe that he has nothing to be afraid of in his new world. And the good thing about it is, I can pray for him and try to communicate with him. She settled not far from me and we met from time to time. Because of my mother we didn't meet at my home, so we met in hers. Her own parents, who were still alive, took her in with great love, and later she inherited the house. I was always made welcome there, and we used to light a candle in the evenings and sang and prayed. First of all, we prayed for her husband and continued in the way she had learned in the circle in Africa. We had no medium or anyone with mediumistic gifts at our disposal. We simply sat together singing, praying and reading from the New Testament, precisely as they had done in the larger circle. Repeatedly we found explanations and confirmation in the New Testament which affirmed our belief. Thus we always stayed together. Then my parents became ill, my father died and my mother followed. I was freed from any religious pressure. My friend and I continued to pray for our departed parents and my friend's husband, and there was a wonderful bond between us. We never relented and on 1 or 2 days every week we sat together early in the evening, praying and singing together. We also felt that those for whom we prayed were sometimes present, we only felt that they were present as we never actually heard them. Unfortunately, we had no mediumistic gifts. Both of us were quite rational and discerning human beings, we never imagined or expected to become clairaudient. But we were satisfied and happy in our knowledge not to focus all our senses and energies on the perishable world. We had the strength and ability to bear life's troubles much better, nothing could really hurt us. We were able to understand and overcome because we tried not to sell our souls to the earthly world and really lived for the future world. This remained our secret, so to speak. We didn't tell anyone of the kind of communication we cultivated because the people in our neighborhood were rather conservative in their religious orientation. There was no point in upsetting them, and therefore we kept it all secret. Sometimes we were admired for our ability to easily withstand the inconveniences in life which, nevertheless, we were faced with as well. We simply did not pay all that much attention to such matters as others did, but were glad to have this relationship with the spiritual world. We were happy that, one day, we too would be entering the world beyond, and we were busy organizing our lives so that we could gain as much spiritual merit as possible. In our time there were plenty of opportunities to help and support the poor and sick, people who suffered in their body and soul. We always gave them comfort and sympathy, something to edify them with. We also lived very modestly but happily. Incidentally, when we see the prosperity and comfort you enjoy, you already live in paradise compared with the circumstances we lived in. I should like to comment, yours is a perishable paradise, and you should not invest all your energy and interest in it. A time will come when you might regret not having aspired to more advanced knowledge. Now, however, I would like to tell you about my arrival in the spiritual world. When I opened my eyes, I was greeted by beautiful beings. I did not know them, yet they didn't seem like strangers. They were angels of heaven, and my whole thinking was full of this heaven I was now to experience. The beauty of it all by far surpassed anything I had imagined when in my body. I was utterly astonished. When I first opened my eyes, I was still a little confused. I was in a forecourt of my heaven of which I just spoke, and there I met my mother and father and other relations. My father had little to say and soon went away, but my mother fell on her knees and entreated me, asking for my support and help. At the same time she scolded and accused me for not having tried harder to convince her of my faith, that I could have done a lot for her while we were living together on earth. However, I answered, "Mother, dear, I found it impossible to convince you." But she would not listen and besieged me, pulling my spiritual gown even though I was not yet really conscious of what was going on. My companion at my side had to remind my mother, saying, "Can't you see your daughter has first to find her way? Allow her to be strengthened with a drink, I will give you both of this drink." Then he offered us a drink from a beautiful jar, and this made me feel strong and happy. Now realized that I had shed my earthly body and, quite naturally, I was curious and began to look at the surroundings. But my mother pestered me more and more, despite having her this drink which should have strengthened and refreshed her too. She reproached me, "Why, when you already knew the truth, why did you not talk to me more forcefully?" I did not know what to say, and my companion had to tell her, it would have been of no avail because you always reprimanded her, and she had to muster all her courage to retain her belief and conviction. You wanted to discourage her from her belief. She entreated me to stay with her. I looked at my guide and asked, "What am I to do? I am a stranger in this world and don't know what should be done." He said, "No, you won't live together, it's impossible. Your daughter lives with us, and you," and he pointed at my mother, "you still have a lot to learn and to atone for. But you may meet each other there." And the saintly figure at my side said to me, "If you like, you may visit your mother from time to time and be her teacher. You can bring her news and tell her about the world you will enter and what it looks like." Well, I agreed to do this. It was, after all, my mother, and I wanted to help her. And then the angel took me into the beautiful heaven where I was to rest a while and be the guest of heavenly beings. They had opened their home to me, and in the beginning they extended many invitations. I was allowed to receive the guests, introducing myself and conversing with them. My hosts revealed to me that in reality I was no stranger to all the guests who had always been members of this circle of friends and who gave me strength during my lifetime. It was they who supported me in all my activities and strengthened me to remain steadfast in my faith. Thus we all knew each other, and a wonderful bond of friendship linked us together. Of course I was curious about all their activities and, one by one, they told me about their tasks and what their duties were. I was told that in time I would take up some work myself. However, For the moment I was to adjust to this new world and be a guest of this house, I was encouraged to go out to admire the surroundings and meet all the spirit friends, introducing myself and entering into conversation with them. In this way I would begin to feel at home and would eventually be given a task to fulfill. Of course I was interested in the welfare of my parents and went to visit them. My father had adjusted fairly well to his new life and really needed no assistance from me, though he was always pleased to see me. On the other hand, my mother was very disappointed because life in this world was not at all as she had imagined it to be. What's more, she had to work. She did not like her work, for during her lifetime she imagined that no one needed to work in heaven, but only enjoyed himself, traveling here and there, simply having fun and being happy. Because of this conviction, her disappointment was all the greater when she was given to understand, you have to work. Everyone here has to work and is given a task according to his or her ability. Moreover, it also depends on your spiritual merits whether the place in the heavenly world in which you will be living will be more or less beautiful. When asked about her spiritual achievements, she considered she had earned quite a lot and started to enumerate them. The angel of God simply ignored her and gave her to understand that what she was telling him could not count as spiritual merit. Finally, my mother had to accept that things did not look very good for her. Her task was to be a messenger. She was always on the road, going between one workshop, house or other, carrying messages or packages back and forth. She never imagined heaven to be as she found it. She believed that in heaven one was able to rest, to tie in the sun, sing and pray. Such was her notion of heavenly life. And now, she was a messenger. She suffered as little respect was paid to her - hardly any esteem. She disappeared into the crowd, yet her assumption was that she had been particularly pious and should, therefore, have special rights in this heavenly world. And such special rights she simply was not granted. She was no different from the others and had to work too. She was a fellow traveler in this enormously busy new world. It therefore appeared to her that in her world one had to work ever such a lot and extra hard. These were her complaints. When I visited her, she wanted me to ask for her release, but I had to tell her that I could do nothing and I too had to work. I told her how I had been the guest of heavenly beings and had had a wonderful time singing and praying with them, but that now it was time for me to be given a task. I told her about my duties and for whom I worked. Of course, there was a big difference between our individual duties. She would have liked very much to have the same work as me, as she believed she had the same ability. My task consisted of making flower arrangements. I made large carpets from very tiny, almost minute flowers for the heavenly festivities. These carpets would be carried to heavenly temples where princes of heaven visited with their brothers and sisters, praising and lauding God and paying homage to the King of the spiritual world. There they would kneel on these magnificent flower carpets. This was my duty, which I fulfilled with great joy. My mother wished she could have a similar job, but I bade her to look at her hands, which were still so coarse she couldn't possibly hold the tiny, delicate flowers, let alone pluck them or make a bouquet. I had to tell her that she was unable to make a carpet out of the little flowers. Gradually, she understood and became satisfied with her own work. I promised to put in a good word on her behalf and approached the heavenly messengers, asking them to show some understanding for my mother. However, they explained that she would have to fulfill this task for a certain time, since she could only progress step by step. But once she had completed this predetermined time, she would be given more pleasant work. Thus I went to console mother and said, "Mother dear, for now you simply have to do this job. But there will be a time when you will be assigned a better one." And then I reminded her of what she used to tell me back on earth. She used to draw my attention to Christ, to his sacrifice, and I explained, "Do you remember how you used to talk to me about Christ, who endured so much for the sake of justice? Therefore you, too, have to fulfill the task you have been given for the sake of justice." From time to time I was allowed to visit her, which made her happy, and occasionally I brought her from my heavenly world some of these distinctive flowers which she did not know. This filled her with joy and gave her the strength to fulfill her duties and aspire to higher things. I was given the opportunity to influence her and to explain to her the path she had to follow, how she should think and act. And so, she climbed higher, step by step. Now, just a word about my friend. She, too, returned to the spiritual world, and I was allowed to receive her and to invite her to live with me in my house. But first she was also invited to be a guest of the heavenly spirits. We shared the same duties and enjoyed the active life in the heavenly world. Our occupation was not limited to the creation of these flower carpets. We also received instruction and had to fears about the divine plan and law. Together with our heavenly friends, we went in search of unfortunate human beings living on earth without faith. We approached them and tried to awaken their conscience, even though we knew very well that we could not convince them. However, their spirit, the spiritual being within them, saw us and heard our truth in their own spiritual language. On returning to the spiritual world, then, they could not complain that they had not been informed. At other times our way led us to other parts of the spiritual world to console brothers and sisters seeking help, telling them, "Hold on, this period will pass, there will be better times." We were able to comfort them by saying, "It will pass, you are not condemned forever, but you will have to repent. The sooner you change your attitude, the sooner this time will be over." And so, we went out to all these places together with our heavenly friends, bringing consolation. Particularly on special feast days honoring Christ, we sometimes brought along refreshments, maybe oil or a drink. It was always received with great joy, for this balm brings relief. This then is my happy life in the heavenly world. I owe it all to my friend who drew my attention to this belief in life after death and in the spiritual world. It was my friend who managed to convince me. Once I had accepted this truth, I never wavered and was rewarded for my firm belief. I led a life accordingly. I did not live for the temporal world, but always kept the future in mind. And this opened the door to the heavenly world for me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my life, how I found this belief and about my entrance to the spiritual world. This is how you should experience it too. By the strength of your belief you will win a place in the heavenly world. It is good if you don't spend all your energy in this perishable world, but keep the future in mind, the divine future, the spiritual life, eternity. Dear brothers and sisters, I return to my world where a lot of work is waiting for me. God bless. Address by the Ascending Spirit Elizabeth, received on 5 November 1969 in German through Beatrice Brunner. Threesier, Joys and Disappointments in the Beyond. Personal Report, 4 May 1966. God bless. My name is Threesier and I lived about 80 years ago in Austria. I would like to give you a brief description of my life, but at the same time I'd like to try to shed some light on the difference between circumstances then and circumstances now. In addition, I want to tell you about the work I do today, here in the beyond. I look after souls who have just returned home, and where necessary I give them reassurance and comfort. I have access to people on earth, too, but by far the greater part of my work is in our realm. I had earned myself some spiritual merit through having raised a great number of children. I had been the mother of 14 children, you see. Life was hard, work, too, had been hard. To put it plainly, we had a hard time making ends meet. I had to help out by working for money, too. I was fortunate enough to have a sister who took care of the house for me, and because of that I was able to go out to work. My work, if you can call it that, was to go from house to house, door to door, with a basket of wares. I can't say I had much to sell, but I was happy for every penny I could get. Now let me try to compare life then with life as it is today and how this relates to my work now of comforting souls on their arrival here in the beyond. During my life on earth I, too, made many, many mistakes. I was told this immediately I arrived here in the spiritual world. But I was also told the following: Threesier, you have earned yourself considerable merit on account of your many children. You have achieved something of importance in God's plan of salvation. But as far as your own life is concerned, you did not always live a very honest life. And that is something we have not been able to condone, for, among other things, you were capable of being very quarrelsome. Well, my conscience was far from clear in that regard. But still, I had been told that my many children would count as spiritual merit in my favor. I, too, had to undergo a period of atonement for the mistakes of my past, but even so, everyone round me treated me with great consideration and affection. I found this new world a wonderful place to be in, quite marvelous in fact. For I had never, ever, in my entire life, experienced anything like it, such concern, such attentiveness from others. It really made a huge impression on me. Now, let me tell you why this new world made such an impression on me, for, viewed from where I am now, today, the world I entered then wasn't even a particularly beautiful place. I should add that there is nothing of any very special interest I can say about my earthly life, as I might have said, for example, had I lived well and had a fine life, except to say that I was reproached for not always having behaved very honestly, and also for my quarrelsomeness. I went from house to house carrying a basket with all sorts of different wares, all kinds of very humble things. The most important item I took round with me, more valuable by far than the rest of the things put together, was a rosary. I always used to lay it on top of everything else. Then, when I offered my goods to people, they felt obliged to give me something. Yes, it wasn't much, but I was glad enough to get just that. Sometimes I would take the rosary and wind it round my hand. The people were supposed to think that I was a devout woman, and doing so brought me various material advantages. Now and again people would give me something, some bread or a bit of food of some sort, and that was good enough for me. I had to do everything I possibly could to give my children the basic necessities of life. Later, in the spiritual realm, when I began to look around me, I was introduced to the more advanced brothers and sisters of this world, and they spoke reprovingly to me of these same aspects of my behavior. They told me it had been dishonest of me to have acted as I had, that it was sheer calculated behavior on my part. I told them, it was sheer necessity. Not calculation, but simple necessity made me do it. But they took no notice of my excuses. Now, I didn't worry myself all that much about what these reproaches meant. The only thing that mattered to me life, that they had a much nicer life before, and a much more comfortable home as well. They had all the comforts they wanted, they tell us, beautiful clothes, and so on. They had been able to afford whatever they wanted. And now these utterly humble circumstances. No, they declare, they are not going to put up with this. You know, I then say to them, I was once just where you are now, but for me this new world was a most wonderful experience. For when I was alive on earth, there was still so much poverty and we didn't expect all that much. We used to wear the same skirt for decades. When we observe the people of today, let's say, the women, we say to ourselves, all that fuss and finery. All that dressy show. And when they come to us, nothing is good enough for them. They want the same finery and the same fancy things, and then they have to realize that none of that exists here, and that from now on they will all be wearing simple clothes. I tell them, in my day, women never changed their dress every day, nor did men put on a clean shirt every morning. In my time, men wore the same shirt for at least 4 weeks. And still, today, when they return to the beyond, they demand the same comforts they had on earth, and these comforts are simply not to be found here. In addition, I tell them that in my day it was like this: when you were ill, you simply had to put up with the pain. Only the very rich, well-to-do people could afford a doctor, and then even they couldn't always be helped. But people of my sort would never go to the doctor if it came to it, we simply died. Lives were not as long as they are today, and pain was something we just had to endure. Then when we entered the spiritual world and were freed from all of our pain, how happy we were indeed. We were so glad to be rid of the pain, we felt reborn. Our clothes were so much nicer than the clothes we had been wearing before, and all in all we didn't make the kind of demands that souls returning today often make. Not so long ago I had a very peculiar experience.